Oh, come on, there's only one we can run to. There's only one. There's only one name that's above every other name.
Grave behind me, shake that dust.
It's about time we leave the grave where it is, amen? It's about time we shake that dust off of doubt, of disbelief, and start running, and start running, and start running to Jesus. Come on, faith filled tonight. Let's declare this.
Hallelujah. Amen. We'll never go wrong running to Jesus, will we? Tonight's going to be a great night. I know that I was just talking to Brother Chris before we came out. He's got a message tonight. I believe it's going to be a word in season for everybody here. How many here enjoyed yesterday morning service? Did you enjoy that? Praise the Lord. I didn't end up counting everybody, but I say there was well over 100 miracles that happened yesterday morning. And I believe God's going to do the same thing tonight. And I sense faith tonight in the building. I believe God's just going to pour His Spirit out. And I believe we might even have one of those experiences Brother Chris talked about yesterday where the cloud came down from behind and people just started falling out. That's the kind of faith and kind of thing I'm expecting for tonight. But we're so glad. We're so honored. This man of God travels all across America and around the world. We're honored that he could take time from his very busy schedule to be with us. I know Pastor and I were talking today, and this is a direct quote from Pastor Dosik, which we all love and respect, do we not? He told me today, he said, Eric, this might be the most purest gift I've ever seen in ministry. That's a direct quote about Chris D'Amico. So when Pastor Dosik says those kind of things, I take that like E.F. Hutton, right? Just I sit in there and listen. But Pastor Dosik's not a man of many words. He says that. He means that. And we're honored tonight to have evangelist Chris D'Amico with us. If we would, let's everyone stand to our feet. Let's give our guest speaker, Chris D'Amico, a warm welcome. And at the end of service, we'll be receiving an offering for Brother Chris's ministry.
Am I on, bro? I am. Love you, brother. Praise God. Are you excited tonight? Wow. Man, the energy in the room. God's going to do great things tonight. Why don't you turn to two or three people tonight and release the love of God in the building? Go ahead and just give somebody a hug. Tell them you're glad that they're here. And this service tonight is going to be off the chain, if that's okay. I know that's not a normal terminology, but we are going to have such a great time because Jesus is here. And then the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. For we all's in a glass, behold the glory of the Lord, are changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. And we know tonight that if Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. And so tonight we lift up the name of, how many of you love Jesus tonight? Anybody here? How many of you appreciate your pastor and his precious wife and the wonderful things that God's doing through this ministry? And we're just thrilled to be with you tonight. You know, we're in probably one of the greatest outpourings that humanity has ever seen, because in the latter days he said he would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. That's actually Acts 2:17. And he said, your sons and daughters would prophesy, young men see visions, old men dream dreams, and upon my handmaids and my servants I'll pour out my Spirit. So we're in the midst of one of the greatest outpourings that the earth has ever seen. But we have this contrast in the end times where darkness, Satan's trying to play his cards and play his hand out. And he always plays his card out too soon, you know, and overextends himself and shows what he's doing. But we know one thing, that God always in the end is glorified. How can a fallen angel that was created by God ever outwit with the wisdom of Almighty God? He cannot. So tonight, you are the head, not the tail, above, not beneath. You're blessed in the city, blessed in the field. Whatever you put your hands to, you prosper, for you're like a tree tonight, planted by the rivers of living water, and you're going to bring forth fruit in your season. And I want to encourage you tonight. God is not done with you. Your best days are yet to come. And you, listen to me, you have so much to be thankful for. You're not where you might want to be, but you're not where you used to be. And God is at work, both to will and to work of his good pleasure in our life. And so we always have to maintain a thankful heart in these end times that Jesus is alive and well, forever lives, seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, how many of you appreciate your pastor? Amen. Amen. We just love your pastor, and I just love his heart. He's one of the most purest men. We've talked, you know, some, and I just saw his heart immediately. Actually, Brother Eric, you know, is I know you appreciate your pastor, and Brother Eric is of the same DNA. How many of you appreciate Brother Eric? Amen. He's a blessing to humanity, and we sure appreciate him. But, you know, it's good to have a pastor that makes room for the presence and the glory of God. I've been to some churches where they get a little bit upset because you go past a certain time. Well, do you really, why did you bring me in? Do you want a move of God, or do you want to, you know, be stuck in some box? You know, the eternal realm, when the eternal realm breaks into the natural realm, it's timeless. Eternity is timeless. Now, we don't intentionally want to drag anything out, because how many have ever been in a service where the Spirit of God wasn't moving, and, you know, the preacher kept going on and on and on, and you wish somebody would just shoot him and take him out of there, you know? Not really, but, you know, you felt that. But the thing about it is, when the glory of God comes into a building and the manifested presence of God, the eternal realm is timeless. It comes in, Brother Philip, and it changes. And when the presence of God, the anointing will hold you. It's eternal. You know, Job 10:12 says, the visitation of his Spirit shall preserve us. How many of you want to be preserved in the presence of God? Man, I'll tell you, without the presence of God, we're nothing and we're in trouble. But we're in one of the greatest moves that the earth has ever seen, and I'm thrilled to be a part of it, to be a servant, you know, on the field, helping, serving, helping pastors in the local church get up behind their great leadership and back these pastoral offices and the work of God in regions, you know. You know, Luke 4:14 said of Jesus, he was in Galilee, you know. Jesus of Nazareth, how many of you know Jesus is still alive and well? How many of you love Jesus? Yeah. Hallelujah. I got news for you. He loves you. The Bible says Jesus returned into Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And they went a fame throughout all the regions about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, which was his custom or his habit. Now, Hebrews 10:25 says, forsaking not the assemblyment of the saints as you see the day drawing near. Why? Because the local church is where the anointing is, where you're pastored, where you're shepherded, where the anointing moves, where you're taught the word of God, how to walk. We walk by faith and not by sight. And it's a place where you meet with God and where you get fellowship with other believers. As iron sharpens iron, so is the continence of godly friendship, and where you're strengthened and encouraged. So you could come to church and have something, some brother or sister next to you open their mouth and give a word from God to you, and they're just talking the word to you to encourage you, and sparks fly. Amen. Amen. Now, there's people here tonight. You came because you love God, but there's others that perhaps are missing things because they think they could stay home and still meet with God. I'll tell you right, you need to come. Now, I know God can move through cameras because we've done stuff, right, overseas. But here I'm saying there's nothing like being in an actual service where the anointing is, where the presence is moving, and lives are impacted by the power of God. Hallelujah. Are you excited? Hallelujah. I am too. I am one happy white boy. Italian white boy. Just throw Italian in there, you know? Any case, having a little fun with you. We had a beautiful time last night, Pentecostal Lighthouse. We had people all over the floors under the power of God being branded and changed, young people, children being filled with the Holy Ghost. We had so many miracles. We had one gentleman had surgery five times. Five times, and the surgery failed. And we prayed for him last night. Well, it wasn't that it was me. It was Jesus in us. And that man was miraculously healed. He laid there on the front. He laid there on the front. I don't know how long. He laid on the floor. What do you say? What's going on? He's under the anesthesia of the Holy Ghost and was having surgery done on him. How about that? Jesus told me, he said, the Spirit of the Lord told me, he said, in your services, people will come in one way. They'll fall under the power of Almighty God. They'll go under the anesthesia of the Holy Spirit. That's what he said. He said, they'll fall under, and he said, there'll be things in their life that I'll remove, and he said, there'll be things I'll add. I like the adding part too, don't you? Before he can add, he's got to remove. You understand that, right? It's a law of distribution. So some things in our life that don't belong there that have to be removed out of our life through purging. That's always a great subject. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And, you know, you don't bear any fruit unless you are purged. I have a teaching series called Purging for the Power. I got news for you. I have like 40-some series. That is not a hot seller. Because nobody likes to be purged. How many know what I'm talking? You know, purging is there's things in our life that don't belong there that God seems to want to nip off the so that more growth can come. But it's essential. And really, if you really want to access the power of God, it is a purging process where John the Baptist said, I must decrease, John 3:30, and he must increase. There's a purging of your own will. There's a purging of who you are. And the Christ man begins to emerge, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you begin to really exemplify the fruit of the Spirit, the life and nature of God, and you begin to reveal him in his purest form. But it is a process of purging that begins to happen in all of our lives. And, you know, James 4:8 says, draw near to God. How many know draw near to God? And the Bible says he will draw near to you. And then the next part of it says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts from being double-minded. So there is a purification. When you begin to move closer to fire, there is a cleansing process by which God begins to burn off the chaff. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through the fiery furnace. Now that was King Nebuchadnezzar's fire, but there was a fourth man in the fire, but they still went through fire. And you're either going to have Satan's fire or God's fire. I'd rather be purged by God's fire, because Hebrews 12:21 says our God is a consuming fire. Isn't that nice? So fire, when you get in the presence of God, God is a purging and there's a sanctification going on by which God begins to change you from glory to glory, and he begins to remove things out of your life that have no eternal value and also hinder you. Are you listening to me? You know, it's I call them flesh handles. You know what flesh handles are? Jesus said, the prince of this world comes and he finds nothing in me. He has no flesh handle to take me out. What's that mean? He can't stop me. See, so Satan will come after the areas of your life that God begins to purge. Listen to me. God will come in those areas to purge you for his glory. Satan will come in the same area to destroy you. Thank you for your enthusiasm. So when God begins to deal with you in a particular area about change, it would be good to yield to that area so that God can burn off the chaff and his consuming fire can begin to move into your life and remove the area that Satan is coming to try to knock your legs out. Are you listening to me? This is good teaching tonight. Not a very popular thoughts, but they're good. How many of you want to be like Jesus, the prince of this world comes, which is Satan, and finds nothing in me, nothing. He can't find anything to knock my legs out. He can't stop me from finishing my course. Paul said, I finished my course with joy. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, Paul was like a little indestructible Jew. They had to take his head off. Satan took the mind of Christ off. Now, that's another story. I won't go there. Just like David took Goliath's head off, which is the mind of darkness. Are you listening to me? Do you remember when God spoke to David and his father told him to go up to the front line to bring lunches to his brother? David's in the backside of nowhere fighting lions and bears, proving the anointing. Are you listening to me? You do not take out a lion or a bear with your bare hand unless the anointing's on you. Come on now. You know that. And one day, David's father tells him to go to the front lines to bring a lunch pail to his brothers. So he was obedient. By the way, before he left the sheep, he put somebody over the sheep. Sounds like responsibility. Hello. Then he goes up to the front line, and when he gets to the front line, his brothers begin to mock him. Oh, what are you doing here, Squirt? Like Leave It to Beaver, you know? Eddie Haskell.
Hi, Mrs. Cleaver.
Go upstairs. Hey, Squirt. It's funny, sometimes you'll see the characteristics of the true nature of people, you know, what they do in church. And behind the scenes. That's another thought. Nevertheless, when he gets to the front line, he hears Goliath speaking, taunting the children of Israel. He said, what is this? What's this? And he sees Saul is the, Saul, of course, you know, he was the, what? The leader of Israel. He's in a tent and he's backslidden. There ain't no power when you're backslidden. He's in fear. When the leader's in fear, the followers are all in fear. And Goliath is a 9-foot Westinghouse refrigerator with a head on it, 9 feet tall, taunting the children of Israel for 40 days. Is this helping you tonight? So they, you know, so David says, you know, David hears the voice of the enemy. You know, there's some things that really should get you upset. When you hear Satan and what he's doing to hurt people, it should make you mad. When you see people that are being hurt and intimidated, there's a righteous indignation. In fact, David said in 1 Samuel 17, is there not a cause? I'm driven by cause, not ego. I'm driven by the kingdom of God like your pastor is, like Brother Philip and his wife or other leaders. We're driven by a cause. So he hears this voice of intimidation for 40 days. Intimidating. He finds out, how long has this been going on? He's a change agent. Listen to me. That which irritates you is what produces the pearl. Are you listening to me? It was the irritation of the voice of the enemy that caused him to rise up, but God had a plan to send him to the front line, call him up just like this. So when he hears it, Saul, he says, I'll go fight him. Saul says, you're just a young kid. And he's a warrior from his youth. It don't matter what, David said, the bigger they are, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. How do you know that? And so basically, in essence, Saul tries to give him his backslidden counsel and put on my uniform and fight with us. David says, I can't put this on. You have to be who you are. You flow the way God. There's over 5 billion people in the world. There's no two people like anyone. Are you listening to me? Every fingerprint's the same. Every snowfall that flanks. You are individual. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now are you the body of Christ and individual members thereof. God has made you unique. God uses you the way he uses. Listen, even the hairs of your head are numbered. When two sparrows fall to the ground, Jesus, he's made you an individual. Stop trying to be like anybody else. There's only one of you, and you're equipped, you're ordained, you're deputized to get the job done the way God's, you know, equipped you. So David said, I don't need that. God delivered, you know, me from the lion and bears. He said, I'll just use my slingshot. I could hear Saul just laughing. I could hear Goliath laughing. Are you listening to me? Now, what did he do? What did David do? He was driven by cause. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that divides the armies of the living God? What is this out of covenant beast that thinks he can intimidate? You know, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I'm with you, neither be dismayed, for I'm your God. For I will strengthen you, help you, and uphold you through the right hand of my righteousness. And those that strive with you, those that cause trouble with you, will actually come to nothing. And he told Israel, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. So David takes a slingshot, and he reaches down into the brook. Everybody say the brook. And he grabs 5 smooth stones. Say smooth stones. You know what? David is a type and shadow of the Messiah. Is he or is he not? He also took out Satan. Who is Goliath? Satan. Are you listening to me? And he reached into the brook, and this is what's valuable because I'm going to share this for a few minutes, and we're going to get on to some other things, but I feel like I'm supposed to do it because your pastor is a valuable man of God. Come on now. David reached into the brook and grabbed five smooth stones. Everybody say five smooth stones. You know what that is? That's the fivefold ministry gifts. Come on. And they're smooth because why? They're in the brook. What's the brook? The anointing. John chapter 7, verse 37, on that last great day, Jesus stood and cried. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. For this he spake of the Spirit that was not yet given, for Jesus was not yet glorified. He said, verse 38, for out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Those five stones were in the rivers of living water, the life of God under the anointing. Pastor Dusick is a man in the river. He is a living stone and carries the anointing just like I do, just like other ministers that are part of the remnant that are contending like David for a cause. I'll tell you right now, the devil's already had three hernias I've been teaching. Come on. So he reaches in the brook, grabs five smooth stones. That's the five full ministry gifts. And David has said he ran to the battle. Now, there's a lot we could teach here, but I'm going to teach just emphasis in this area for a minute. David took one of the five full ministry gifts, which would represent all of them. And he launched that stone. Where did he throw it into? What is this? The forehead. What is that? Those are the lies and mindsets of darkness. That's what the ministry gifts do. They are launched into the mindsets of darkness through truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The entrance of his word gives light, gives understanding to the simple. 1 Corinthians 10:3. Although we live in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for pulling down strongholds, casting out imaginations, and every lofty thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You either cast down imaginations or they cast you down. You either pull down strongholds or they pull you down. You either bring every thought captive obedient to Christ, or those thoughts will bring you captive and obedient to darkness. God launches the fivefold ministry gifts into the forehead, which is the mind. That's where you process, into the mind of Satan. And what happened to it? It fell. And then what did he do? He took the sword of Goliath and did what? He cut his throat. Now let me stop for a minute. Not only does the fivefold ministry, now remember Ephesians 6 says in verse 17, it says, take unto you the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So what he did is he launched the fivefold ministry gifts into the mindset of darkness, knocked it down, and then took the sword of the Spirit and cut its windpipes. Now 1 Corinthians 14:10 says, there's many voices in the world, none without significance. So Satan is a liar, according to John 8:44. He said to the Pharisees, he said, you're of the father of the devil, and there's no truth found in him, for he's a liar and the father of lies from the beginning. How do you combat lies? With truth. That's why the Bible says, preach the word. Be instant in season and out. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. For there will come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine, and they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You know, false teachers. Tickle your ears. Are you listening to me? 2 Timothy 4:1 says, the Spirit speaks expressly with great emphasis. Some shall depart from the faith. That's an apostasy. We've seen that happen. Seeker-friendly churches. They've departed from truth. Now homosexuality is okay. No, it's not okay. Gender trans, you know, transgenders. We have one Olympic, five gold Olympic man who now is running for governor. I don't want to, you know, get any lawsuits here, but, you know, he's now a woman. Now, I'm not going to get ugly here tonight or nothing like that, but I'm saying God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And we need to pray for people that are struggling those ways. I'm not criticizing. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just talking about truth is truth, and lies are lies. And the truth is the truth in 1900. And the truth is the truth in 1700. And the truth is the truth in 2000. And the truth is the truth in 2021. The truths of the Word of God never change. So we just need to keep teaching. I'll be darned. I will be a rifle, a machine gun, to teach the Word of God to the body of Christ so that we can keep wrong thinking out of the way. Are you listening to me? So he said the Spirit speaks expressly in the latter times, that's now, that some, not everybody, but there'll be some, will depart from the faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. They'll depart from the Word. Not me. I'm a stickler for the Word. Are you there? Amen. Paying heed to seducing spirits. So it is an age of seduction, deception. Remember Genesis 3, it said the serpent was more crafty than all the beasts of the field and came to Adam and Eve and said, well, has not God said deception? And Paul said, I fear that the same way that the serpent deceived Adam and Eve, that you would be deceived from a simple, pure obedience to truth. Come on now. Brother Eric, we know the truth, and the truth makes us free, and the truth keeps us free, and we're going to stay in the truth. John 17:17, for thy word is truth. And verse 16 said, sanctify them in thy truth. What sanctify means? Set apart. For thy word is truth. Amen. So David takes his sword, which is a symbolic of the sword of the Spirit, which you will do, and cuts the windpipes of the enemy to shut his mouth. Jesus said, the good shepherd's voice you do hear. The stranger's voice you will not listen to. Doesn't mean you don't hear it, but the way you cut out his word is swing the sword. It's a two-edged sword. Thank you. Is this helping you tonight? Come on, I done preached myself happy already. So David took out the voice of the enemy with the sword of the Spirit, and that will be the same way that you do. Take out the voice of the enemy. When the devil lashes you, slash him with the sword. Jesus was tempted three times, and the devil said, it's written, it's written. And Jesus said, it's also written. Don't take your rubbish, lies, and take the Word of God out of context. Distortion of the age. Take the word out of context. Not around here. You're taught straight around here, man. Aren't you glad? You know, they said you could trace the downfall of London when the preacher stopped preaching about hell and truth. There ain't no wishy-washy around here. We teach it straight up. Your pastor's a straight-up guy. He's an honest man. He's straight. And we love him, and we love his wife, and I haven't met her yet, but I know they're one, they're a team, the dynamic duo. Aren't you glad you got a pastor who takes out the enemy? Amen. He's not afraid. Amen. Are you listening to me? That's just my warm-up. Are you there? I just had to get that out. I'm just like FedEx. I just bring the package and unload it. I got enough sermons to choke a dead horse and raise him from the dead, but I got to follow the Spirit. That's for some of you now. Don't ever despise the office of the pastor. Pastor, teacher, he has an apostle's office on him. Amen? So you need to pray for those that are in authority that you might lead a quiet and peaceable life with all godliness, because it's easier to spread the gospel when there's peace in the world. But pray for your pastors. Love them. Bless them. I worked for my pastor in Shreveport, Louisiana. He was the Deep South Regional Director for ICFM, which is an organization that Brother Hagin started. And after he would preach, I would always poke my head and say, Pastor, that was a great sermon. Thank you so much for your obedience. Well, you think pastors don't need encouragement? Come on. They do. They get attacked on multiple fronts. Well, so, brother, I got so many problems. Well, you know, when you encourage others, your problems go away. Just a thought. Amen. Brother Phillips here with his life, you know, wife, his life, it sounds right. He pastors a great church. I haven't been there yet, but I've had many phone calls and conversations with him, and his heart is beautiful. He loves God. They're doing a great work. I know it. Well, we'll be there on Thursday, and we'll be excited to go there and help anywhere we can go. Like Brother Hagin used to say, if there's two snaggletooth women in the front row, I'll give them my all. Are you listening to me? Any case. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight. Tonight we lift up the name of Jesus at the name of Jesus. Not our ministry, not our name, but the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of the glory of God. Things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth. You said if you be lifted up, you would draw all men to you. Father, not my name. We humble ourselves. We lift up the name that has power in three worlds. Father, we thank you for this great church, Only Believe Church, these tremendous pastors, their obedience through the years to follow the purpose and plan of God. We thank you that their best days are yet to come. We thank you that you'll bless them beyond measure. Father, give them supernatural strength and vision to hear all that you would have for them. We thank you. We count it an honor to be in their pulpit tonight, to serve and to honor you and to get up behind their great ministry that they have been obedient through the years to labor in the field, to follow you, to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. And Father, I call these people tonight blessed. Thank you for every individual that's here tonight that you love so greatly, that you have begun a good work in them. You will perfect it till the day of Christ Jesus. I speak encouragement in the realm of the Spirit over their lives. I speak blessing over them in their lives. I bind the powers of darkness that would try to come in to hinder them, to stop them. As Paul said, I'd often come to you, but Satan hindered us. But I believe with all my heart that they are strong tonight in the Lord and in the power of your might. You said, even the weak, even the youth shall weary and utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord, you said you would renew their strength. That they would mount up as wings as eagles. They would walk and not be weary. They would run and not faint. You said, they that wait upon the Lord, you would renew their strength. Now, Father, tonight we welcome the power of the Holy Spirit in this service. You said with man it's impossible, with God all things are possible. In Ephesians 3:20, you said, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could even ask or think, according to the power that works within us. We thank you. You said if we would only believe, we would see the glory of God. And Father, we welcome the precious Holy Spirit in this service tonight. We glorify the working. You say, where is the Holy Spirit? He's in the earth moving right now in the midst of us in this service. We expect in advance signs, wonders, and miracles. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved among us, with signs, wonders, and miracles that God did in the midst of us. And Father, we thank you. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. What you did 2,000 years ago through your death, burial, and resurrection, and your earth walk, you're alive today. Moving mightily in the Spirit, moving mightily through the power of the Holy Spirit, moving mightily through your servants in these end times and through the body of Christ. And just as the disciples went preaching everywhere, the scripture says the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. So we welcome angels, ministering spirits into the service to bring body parts, to bring new lungs, body parts, whatever the need is, we welcome you to come into the service. Go to your post of duty. The miraculous released. And before it's all said and done, everybody in this place will say, look what the Lord did, because Jesus is alive and well. And we give him all the praise. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you. Even when Stephen was the first martyr was stoned, it said, Jesus, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked steadfast into the heavens. And Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And he saw the glory of God. Well, we will see it again. We'll see it, Lord. Your glory in these latter days. And we love you so much, Lord. We love you with all our hearts tonight. Lord, let not one person that's here, let them not think that they're not loved, they're not valuable, that you're not through with them. I don't care if they're 70, 80 years old, you still have a plan. We thank you that the purpose and plans of God are remarkable in this end times. And in the end times, the church of the Lord Jesus will be glorified. You'll be glorified in your church. And we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. And everybody said, amen. Amen. How many of you can sense the anointing? It's already moving in. It's already dropping in. I just pray every time I click the mic on, the power starts to fall. Amen. You're being marinated. You ever had a good steak? You marinate it. You know why you marinate? There's some tough areas in the steak, you know? That went over real well. And then we throw you on the grill and the heat comes. And you fall in the power and you roll around. They say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. How would you like your steak, sir? Well done. All right, it's a joke. Okay, our text this evening is Psalms 110 in verse 3. If you want to put that out, I'm going to quote it to you out of my spirit. I have to flow out of my spirit, you know, because if I pull up my text and teach, and it'll take me 3 years to get done what I can do by quoting and flowing, okay? That's the prophet's office. Okay, so Psalms 110 verse 3, it says this, the people will be willing in the day of his power. Are you listening to me? In the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast dew of thy youth. Now, the people shall be willing in the day of his power, in the beauty of holiness. Wow, what a text that the psalmist brought forth. Are you listening to me? In the day of thy power, I'm here to tell you tonight that we are in the day of his power. Are you listening to me? Deuteronomy 11:21 says, we will see days of heaven upon the earth. Thy kingdom done, come, thy will be done in heaven as it is in earth. And then we find in Numbers 14:21 says, as surely as we live, the whole earth shall see the glory of God. Say the day of his power. You get to live in the day of his power. Now, Isaiah 40 verse 5, the prophet said, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and we shall all see it together. Aren't you glad? Everybody say his glory. His power. So in the day of his power. Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13 in the Old Testament, said, when the singers and trumpeters became as one, lifting their voice on instruments of the day, like we do in modern days, drums and bass and trumpets and violins and whatever else you can make up, spoons, whatever you want to do. Lifting their voice, saying, the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Aren't you glad for the mercy of God? I said, aren't you glad for the mercy of God? Lamentations 3, verse 22 and 23 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. Isaiah 43, verse 25 said, I am he who blots out thy sins and iniquities, and I will remember them no more. And he said, as far as the east is from the west, so has he removed your transgressions from you. And the Bible says in 1 John 3:20, beloved, if our heart condemns us, even when you miss the mark, God is greater than your heart and knows all things. But if your heart condemns you not, then you have confidence and peace before God. Are you not glad? And 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, he's writing it to the church. He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Even as believers, we're not perfect. There's only two perfect people, Jesus and Brother Peter. Out of that, there isn't any. I lost a few of you. Come on now. Aren't you glad when you miss the mark that his mercy endures forever? That God forgives you so graciously? Hebrews 4:15 says, we have not a high priest, Jesus Christ the righteous, who cannot be easily touched with the feelings of your infirmities. He was tempted like you in every way, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne room of grace to receive mercy and obtain grace in your time of need. You've heard it before, but when you miss the mark, please don't run away from God. Run to God. He loves you. He'll forgive you. Romans 8:1 says, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, after the Spirit. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life, that's Zoe, has made you free from the law of sin and death. You're forgiven. And that mercy flows. That grace flows. That forgiveness flows. There is a fountain that's flowed from Emmanuel's veins that washes you from all your sins, all your shame, all your guilt. You are the righteousness of God tonight in Christ Jesus. Revelation 12:11 said they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of a champion, by the word of their testimony. The blood still flows. The blood still cleanses. The blood, listen to me, under the Old Testament, when the death angel would come, they would put the blood on the doorpost, and the death angel could not enter in or destroy them. You plead the blood of Jesus over your family, over your children. It is a protection agent. It is an agent that brought you into a new covenant with better promises. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 says, if any man, ladies you're included, be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us back into himself and given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. That's the mercy of God. To wit, verse 18, God was in Christ. Reconcile. Reconcile means brought back in harmony. Reconciling the world back to himself. One translation says, hugging the world back to himself. God hugged you back to the Father. Woo! Glory! What a covenant he's made with you. Under the Old Testament, they would go up, you know, every year, and all the males 30 years and up, under the Old Testament, they would take a spotless lamb and shed the blood, and it would cover the sins of the people for that year. But aren't you glad the blood of Jesus, the spotless lamb, his blood was shed for you and I to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And that blood continues to flow. If you miss the mark, please run to God. He loves you so much. He'll forgive you so quickly. And then don't beat yourself up for the next 30 years. Put it behind you and forget those things which are behind. Do you remember the woman that was caught in the act of adultery? How many of you remember that? It's in John 8. There was a woman who was caught in the act of adultery, and the disciples, Jesus was teaching. Remember? And the Pharisees grabbed this woman and threw her at Jesus and said, Master, at least they got that right. I'll say this, you master through the master who lives in you. He said, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery, and the law of Moses says she should be stoned. It is. You read it in the book of Leviticus. If you're caught in adultery, you would be stoned. They'd stone you to death. But what do you say? They tried to entangle him and snare him. Are you listening to me? What did Jesus do? He knelt down and took his finger and wrote in the sand. Let me set a stage for you a minute. You've got the law, which is the Pharisees, and you've got the fulfillment of the law, which is mercy and love, right there on the stage. Jesus came down. He knelt down because God humbled himself and made him Jesus. The Bible says, consider him who endured such hostility by yourself, lest you grow weary in mind. And it says in Philippians 2, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ. For although he existed in the form of God, he regarded equality with God not a thing to be grasped, but humbled himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of man. Therefore, God highly exalted him, gave him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. So Jesus made himself of no reputation. If anybody had a choice or had the privilege to have a reputation, Jesus, but he became in a form of a man and humbled himself. So he lowered himself. So when Jesus knelt down, he said, I'm coming down to your level to love you. Are you listening to me? Then he took his hand and he wrote in the sand. Now, let me ask you a question. Now, like you study some of these commentaries. Sometimes I went in, like, Brother Hagin, you see PhDs. Brother Hagin, you should say post-hole diggers. You read some of the stuff they say, and you're like, that ain't right. That ain't the Spirit of the Lord. You know, Wigglesworth used to say it like this. Some people read their Bibles in Hebrew. Some read it in Greek. He said, I read it in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So some scholars say, what did he write? Hypocrites. They come up with all this thing. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what did you do? He said, son, he said, what finger do you use when you write? Do you write with your pinky? That's weird. You don't write with that finger. You don't that. So then the Lord said to me, in a visual, judgment. Remember, you used to hear people say, don't point your finger because you got three coming back at you. You remember that? Are you alive out there?
Yeah.
It was judgment. You don't write with your thumb, do you? You don't write with your pinky. So it was judgment. So he wrote in the sand. You know what the Lord said to me? Spirit of the Lord. Jesus was pointing down into the region of hell, where judgment could have been, where men should have gone to hell, but he was pointing down into the ground and wrote in the sand, which was hearts made out of clay. Ezekiel 36 said, a new heart I'll give them, a new spirit I will place within them, and I will take away their stony heart of flesh and give them a heart of compassion, and I will write the commandments of my laws upon the tablets of their heart. So he was taking judgment that she should have been stoned, but Jesus pointed down to the heart of the earth. Because the Bible says in Ephesians, who is he ascended but the same that descended into the lower parts of the earth? That was hell. And when he ascended back on high, he gave gifts unto men, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly evangelists and pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord, said, I was speaking, pointing down into the region where I would go so that men's forgiveness, men's sins could be forgiven. Come on. Jesus said this, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. Well, that pretty much levels about everybody there except him, because the truth of the matter is he was the only one without sin who could judge her. Isn't that right? So give me scripture. Okay, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin. He was conceived of a virgin, right? Why? Because if he was conceived of Joseph's seed, Leviticus 17 says the life of the body is in the blood and sin is passed on through the blood. But he was conceived of the Holy Spirit because Big John, King Jimmy, says in the beginning was the Word and the Word was with God. And the Bible says in him was life. And that word in the Greek is Zoe. The God kind of life was in him. He was the only man that walked the earth alive unto his Father. He was alive unto God, walking with men that were spiritually dead. So he said, let him who's without sin cast the first stone. He was the only one without sin that could do it. That makes sense, right? Are you listening to me? It said, from the greatest to the least, they all dropped their stones and walked out. Listen, we got to stop pouncing on people when they make mistakes. Just look in the mirror. D.L. Moody said, I have more trouble with myself than any other man. Leave other people alone, please. Just get to work on yourself and by the grace of God. Grace will help you get through it and work things out. Work out the kinks, you know. In fact, there is no change without the Spirit of God anyways. Otherwise, it's just dead works because you can't change yourself. Only the presence of God can change you. Now, God will work with the manward side, with your decisions. Dr. Summerall used to say, you make decisions and decisions make you. So we have to make decisions. In fact, Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I call heaven to earth to record this day that I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life that you and your descendants may live. In John 6:63, Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So when you obey the word, you get sanctified from the world. Amen? So then all the big hypocrites, full of judgment, legalistic, the law judges. So from the greatest to the least, they all walked out. And the woman, you know, Jesus, he said he looked down to the ground. You know why? She was caught in the act of adultery. She didn't even have any clothes on. He was guarding his eye gates and didn't want to embarrass her. In fact, Job said, I've made a covenant with my eyes that I would not look on the fair ladens of the land. That was interesting, Brother Chris. You have to make a covenant with your eyes. You don't let them wander off. You know, it's okay to admire somebody and say, oh, that person's handsome or she's beautiful, but it's usually the third or fourth or fifth glance that gets you in trouble. Thank you for your enthusiasm. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. So you look to the word and you get purified. You know, Psalms 119 in verse 9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping according to thy word. Verse 11, two verses down. The word have I hid in my heart that I would not sin against thee. Amen. He desires truth in the inward parts. Before you depart from God, you depart from the word. Don't depart from the word. And you won't depart from him. In prayer. Prayer is a lifeline. I pray in tongues till my tongue falls off and I throw it back in my mouth. Because Paul said praying always with all manner of prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And then the Bible says, he said, I thank my God, I pray in tongues more than y'all. One translation says, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18. Verse 15 says, what is it? I'll pray with the understanding and I'll pray in the Spirit. I'll sing with the understanding and I'll sing with the Spirit. And he said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than y'all. The Amplified Bible says more than the entire church at Corinth. I have a teaching called Tongues, the Doorway into the Miraculous. That's where the devil fights the greatest, praying in tongues, because it is the hotline into the realm of God. It will draw you into the perfect plan and purposes of God. Hello? Forbid not to speak in other tongues. Verse 39. You study it out. On the day of Pentecost, you find tongues that's very prevalent. Right? Verse 4. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, cloven tongues as a fire. Tongues is the glossolalia experience found on the book of Acts. What a privilege to pray in other tongues. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I ain't no fool. When I was young, 17-year-old, I got filled. I'd pray for tongues for hours. I started to tap into the realm of God as a young teenager. I didn't even understand what I was doing. I was just plowing into it. You want to have more of a walk with God, pray in tongues long time and stay in the Word. Hallelujah. That's just a side thought, but it sure is good. I got a whole teaching on tongues, a doorway into the miraculous. How much can we get done in two services? But I can touch on things. I can provoke you, poke you in the spirit to think on certain things. Amen? I won't touch a pulpit for a minimal of 3 hours in tongues. I think today I had about 6.5 to 7 in just to come here for one service. Might even been a little more. I don't know. I'll lose track. But I love the anointing. The anointing is precious. It's a gift. And we have to cherish what God entrusts us with as stewards. Are you listening to me? I don't know why I'm talking about it, but maybe that'll stir you up a little bit. So Jesus said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. He said, from the greatest to the least, they all left. He was the only. He said, woman, where are thine accusers? See, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. She said, there art none. He said, neither do I accuse you. Now notice what he said. He forgived her. He didn't accuse her. The blood washed her. But he said this, go and sin no more. In other words, make an adjustment. So you got to make an adjustment. Did you ever notice that the areas of your life where there's pain, it requires an adjustment? Like, you know, I have a few chiropractor friends. There's a woman friend, she's up in her 60s. She's close to the ministry, she supports the ministry. She'd tell me, you know, when people have problems, there's pain, they come for an adjustment. When I make the adjustment, the pain leaves. Think about that. Did you ever notice that? Where the pain is in your life, you might need to make an adjustment to realign yourself with God. Then you make the adjustment and the pain goes. That's a pretty good thought, isn't it? Amen. Remember Song of Solomon 2 and 5, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine? Sometimes it's the little things. Even in aviation, you know, they call altitude is when you're staying on course. If you get off just a centimeter, you could go off hundreds and hundreds of miles. I don't want to get off course, do you? Keep your heart tender. Make adjustments when God's dealing with you with things. Remember I told you earlier, the areas that God deals with you things, Satan's coming to destroy you in those areas if you don't make the adjustment. Are you listening to me? Well, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So he ain't destroying nobody. And we ain't giving up ground. We're going to get in his face and cause trouble. Are you there? Get a little ornery. Acts 4:13, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant, they took notice that they had been with Jesus. Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no man pursues them, but the uncompromised righteous are as bold as a lion. Are you listening to me? And so she departed. Go and sin no more. So the grace and mercy works, but go and sin no more. And if you keep struggling in an area, you can get it right. God will help you. And don't beat yourself up. And if you have to, get some help. Talk to the right person. Don't talk to the number one gossip in the church. Because, it'll be in the bulletin. Know your friends. Know who your friends are. We're not an island. We need each other. That's why the Bible says, confess your sins one towards another that you may be healed. So find somebody. If you're struggling in an area and you can't seem to get it right, get somebody. Say, please pray with me and help me in prayer. Do it privately. Do it with someone you trust or call pastor or some of the staff or someone. Are you listening to me? You can make it. You'll be all right. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can do it by the grace of God. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. You can hurdle it. It's going to be all right. Come on now. Hallelujah. It's going to be, turn to somebody and say, it's going to be all right. Sure it is. Amen. So in the day of thy power, everybody say the day of thy power. Now, 2 Chronicles chapter 5, you thought I left off. You thought I forgot. I didn't forget. When the singers and trumpeters lifted their voice and said, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. That's where I was. On musical instruments of the day. Saying, the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Then the house was filled with a cloud. The glory of the Lord began to move in, even to the point, that's the power of God, to the point that the ministers could not even stand, for the glory of the Lord did fill the house. You see the repentance that comes first when the glory comes in? They spoke of the mercy of God that even empowers us to stand in the glory of God. And then 2 Chronicles chapter 7, when Solomon, David was a warrior, Solomon had wisdom. Solomon built the temple. He took all of his father's money, though, to get it done. Thank God for inheritances. When Solomon made an end of prayer, the fire came down from heaven and burnt the sacrifice and offerings, and the glory of the Lord did fill the house. To the point they couldn't get into the meeting. Can you imagine when the power comes and people can't get through the front doors because there's like the place is full, a cloud, and people hit the front door and fall back on the ground? Come on now, I've been in services, whole sections fell out. They fell under the glory. And then you see David in Psalm 63, verse 1, 2, and 3. He said, oh God, thou art my God. Isn't that nice? Personal. Earlier will I seek thee. My soul longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, the condition of the church. Not this church. To see thy glory and to see thy power as I have seen in the sanctuary, for thy loving kindness is better than life. Exodus 33:18, Moses said to the Lord, he said, I beseech thee, O Lord, show me thy glory. He said, looky, boy, you're not able to see me face to face because you can't handle it. I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock and let you see my Levi's. My back parts, you know, Levi's. Hello? Moses, when he went up to the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, when he came down under an Old Testament, had to put a veil over his face, for the glory of the Lord did shone upon his face. He got a Holy Ghost sunburn. You can tell when people have been in the presence of God. You can see it on their face. You can, right, bro? My grandma used to tell me, she said, Christy, she called me Chrissy. Now, don't you call me Chrissy. She said, Christy, you have Holy Ghost eyes. I said, thanks, Grandma. And Grandma would get in your face, you know? Grandma was like in her 90s, you know, and she loved God, and she was bold, and she talked, she was very cleric, her personality, and she'd hand out tracts at 90, and you know, and Grandma would get right in your face. You know, I mean, if she was eating salad, salad was bouncing off your forehead, tomatoes and cucumbers. But she'd say, Chrissy, you have Holy Ghost eyes. I say, thank you, Grandma, that's sweet. We need to be full of the power of God. Amen. Moses had to put a veil over his face. Jesus shone with the glory of God on the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember, he shone with the glory of God. I mean, he was enveloped with the glory. He is the glory of God. So David said, to see thy glory and thy power as I have seen in the sanctuary. In the day of thy power, it's now. 1 Corinthians 2:4, Paul said, my speech and my preaching is not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration in power of the Holy Ghost, that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of man, but in the power of Almighty God. The Bible said in the end times, There will be those that will have a form of godliness. 2 Timothy 3:5. They'll have a form of godliness. It'll look like religion. One translation says a make-believe piety, like artificial fruit on a table. Remember when you were young? Those bananas and apples and oranges and the grapes you pull off and throw them, right? Look like fruit, same color as fruit, but it was fake. I don't like fake. Jesus don't like fake. Jesus is not fake. Religion is horrible. Religion will beat you over the head. Religion will condemn you. Religion will take you to hell. The Bible says they have a form of godliness, but deny the power. Berkeley's translation says, yes, they'll go to church, but they will be strangers to the power. D.L. Moody said, a church in the land without the power of God is a curse rather than a blessing. That's why I love your pastor. I love this place because he's ready to flow. He told me on the phone call Sunday morning, he said, just whatever God does, you just flow. He wants God. God won't send me to places that they don't want the move of the Spirit. And if they do, I'll just rub them wrong and they'll send just whatever. Nothing intentional, nothing rude or nothing. They just want religion. I don't want religion. I mean, I'm always respectful and honorable. Please don't misunderstand me. But God sends me to places where there's a flow of the power of God so I can flow in the gifts, flow in the office, back up the church, and bring a change into the atmosphere. The Holy Ghost and I are running buddies. Amen. Just like you are, just like pastor. They're running buddies. Pastor's a man after the Spirit, after the Word and Spirit, him and his wife. You're so blessed to have a church that a pastor loves the move of God and wants the move of God and is a contender for the miraculous, not only here, but over the world. I was just in India, you know. We ministered, I don't know what it is. There was at a conference, about 5,000 people with Ram Rambo. It was a prophetic conference. There was 5,000 people there. And we flowed and alternated. The power of God flowed in that service so much. We had like, I don't know, it was like 320-some pastors that were in that service. It's powerful. You affect a leader, you affect a nation. Your pastor is a leader to leaders. Did you know that? He is, right? Am I right? I know that in the spirit. Dr. Mark Barclay, who's on Brother Copeland's board, prophesied. He prophesied over me. He said, you're a leader to leaders. That's why I'm connected with your pastor. There's no ego in that. It's just a job. I love pastors. I love leaders. I stand with them. I pray for them. I do. I love the fivefold ministry. I love pastors. Pastoral office is one of the greatest offices.
Amen. Praise God.
We need them all. But a pastor's he's like a general practitioner. He's got to deal with all kinds of issues on multiple fronts. I'm more of a specialist. I flow in, you know, a different office. But I also have the pastor teacher in me too. It's there. That's why I love pastors so much. Are you listening to me? That's a different story. Everybody say the day of his power. It's here. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come. They were in one place and one accord. You've got to get into harmony with God's word and with one another and settle your differences. They didn't get into a Honda, which is in one accord. And the Bible says, suddenly, like a rushing, mighty wind, God filled the house where they were seating. You're seating tonight. Verse 4, they are all filled with the Holy Ghost, as in cloven tongues of fire. And then the Bible says there were 17 men there. I counted it, 17 representations from different nations. And some were mocking, and some were saying, what does this mean? But Peter, standing with the 11, said, "You men of Judea and Samaria, be this known to you that these men are not drunk as you suppose. For it is the third hour of the day, 9 o'clock in the morning. Only alcoholics drink in the morning, and I am a spiritual alcoholic." But Peter said, "This is that which was spoken of the prophet Joel some 80 years prior, that in the latter days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy." One generation. "Your young men see visions." Amplified Bible. "Divinely granted visitations." I could stop there and talk a little while. "Old men dream dreams. And upon my handmaidens and my servants in that day, I will pour out of my spirit." Well, God pours out his spirit into hungry vessels. Matthew 5 and verse 6, Jesus said, "Blessed are those that hunger and thirst." Hunger is a meal, thirst is the presence. Word and spirit, word and spirit, word and spirit. "For they shall be" what? "Filled." Everybody say filled. Filled. On the day of Pentecost, they were all filled. Let me say this to you. There's one in filling, but many refillings. Amen. "Well, yeah, I got filled in 1948. Yeah, well, you leak and you need another refilling. Just like your tank or your car, you had to fill the car up. I've just filled up the car today because I'm driving all over the place. Needs to be refilled. "Well, you know, I remember when Pastor brought in an evangelist and laid hands and I got filled." Oh, wow. What have you been doing since then? There's one in filling, but many refillings. That's my job. Get filled and unload. Get filled and unload. Get filled and unload. Get filled and unload. That's all I do for a living. I get full of God and unloaded on people. That's your job, too. And I got great revelation. Ready? Flies do not land on hot burners. For he makes his messengers a flame of fire. Come on now. Cloven tongues as of fire, the purging element, the purging agent of God. God, our God, Hebrews 12:21, is a consuming fire. Are you listening?
Yes.
But this is that which was spoken 80 years prior. God was in a rush to get on the inside of man, rushing mighty wind. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't know if you realize this, but right now you're getting filled by your sitting in the service because the presence of God has been moving in here already. It's here. If you didn't bring it, I brought it. It's here. But I know it's here because your pastor prays and you have those meetings all the time. So I'm just hooking up with what's going on. Come to add a little fuel on the fire. Throw a little gasoline on the fire. Are you there? Say, the day of his power is now. Thy people in the day of his power shall be willing. Let's stop and think about that for a minute. I heard Brother Hagin used to say this. The saints of old had a deeper consecration level than the ones today. You know what consecration is? Not my will, but thy will be done. You have to lay down your will and pick up his will. If you're willing to lay down your will, to pick up his will, God will use you. Isaiah 1:19 says this. The prophet Isaiah said, if you're willing, you know the contingency is if you are, because if you aren't, God can't use you. If you're willing, if you're willing, I hear in the realm of the Spirit, if you are willing to give your life away, dedication and consecration, in the day of His power, He needs willing vessels. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, see, an unwilling heart is a rebellious heart. And if you think that the prayer of consecration is something you do once, you ain't thinking right. Because the prayer of consecration is something you do every day. Not my will, but thy will be done. And you have to make sure that you don't take your life back and get in the driver's seat and try to run the things the way you want. No, the Bible says He will instruct you, Psalms 32:8, and teach you in the way that you should go, and He shall guide you with His eyes upon you. And for as many as are led by the Spirit, Romans 8 and verse 14, these are the sons and daughters of God, and His Spirit bears witness, my Spirit, that I'm a son of God. And the Bible says He wants to lead us by His Spirit, but God does not use vessels that are unwilling. God doesn't bless stubbornness. God doesn't, you know what they say in Italian, a cuppa tost. You know what a cuppa tost is? It's not a meal. It's a hard head. God has to break you of your will like a horse. The Bible talks about a horse that doesn't listen. It's whipped and broken into submission. Wouldn't you rather just submit to God? Say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, whatever you want me to do. Listen, I walked away from professional contracts. I had three contracts with... I had a contract in front of me for Buffalo Bills, Dallas Cowboys, and the Tampa Bay. I walked away from all of it for the call of God. I want God. You say, what, are you crazy? No, yeah, I am crazy. Crazy in love with God. You have to die to your will. You have to surrender your will. You have to lay your life down so that God can pick up His agenda, His plans, His purpose. You know, I'm amazed. Everybody say amazed. At so many people that say that they love God, but they're in the driver's seat of their life. Yeah, well, I'll do that, Lord, but don't tell me to do that. I'll do anything, Lord, you want me to do, but don't ask me to work in the nursery and change diapers. Listen to me. I've worn more hats in the ministry. I worked in the local church 8 years. I'm so glad I did because I was able to understand the function of the local church. Dad Hagen used to say, he'd say, it would be really good for all you traveling guys to pastor for a while, and you pastors learn about, go travel a little bit so you know how to treat one another and take care of them. Are you listening to me? You know, pastors that understand the traveling ministry, they travel, they take good care of traveling ministers. Amen. Traveling ministers that worked in the local church honor the pastors because they understand the implications and all that goes on in the local church. That's a good thing. Amen. You know, I look at Brother Eric, you know. He has such a beautiful, pure heart. He has surrendered. I see it in him when I look at him, a billboard of a heart that has surrendered to the will of God. Amen. He was in business, making millions, right? I mean, you were in, I don't know, electrical, whatever. I don't know what you were doing. But you laid it all down to go help Brother Schaumbach. You didn't even say a word to him, did you? You just went and served. And he saw the gift in him, and he saw a heart of a servant, and put him to work. And now look what God's doing through him. But you will be tested by your will. You will be tested to take your will back. You will be tested to be self-absorbed. In the end times, people will be lovers of themselves, stuck up, enamored with themselves. No, we're enamored with Jesus. And if you're willing and obedient to what He tells you to do, you shall eat the good of the land. You shall be blessed. You will be the head, not the tail. You will prosper. You will be blessed because of your willingness to honor the King of Kings. If there's any of you here tonight that you feel like you're in charge of your life, die tonight. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If. Now Luke 22 verse 41, so Jesus withdrew himself a stone's throw away from his disciples and knelt down and prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he began to pray to his Father. He said, Lord, I'll paraphrase, is there any other way we can do this? Because I know you can do anything. Lord, take this cup from me. What's he saying? I don't really want to do this. He's expressing his, he was going to be separated and cut off out of the land of the living and broke fellowship, break, God tasted of death for all men. That blows me away that God tasted of death. He died through his son, spiritually died. Jesus died and yielded up the ghost. If there's any other way that we could do it, Lord, he's negotiating. Have you ever negotiated over the will of yourself? I mean, let's face it, Jesus did a huge thing. I mean, no one, I mean, come on, if he could do that, we can do anything. Lord, knelt down a stone's throw away from his disciples and knelt down and prayed, Lord, take this cup from me. Now notice this, listen closely. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. In Acts chapter 9, you remember Saul on the road to Damascus, as he journeyed towards the road to Damascus to find any of those that were in the way, because Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, the Christians, and he was a religious leader. He was a zealot. He was a radical. He was a little small structured guy, but he was a radical. He was like Mussolini or Hitler in religion. He was going to bring any of those that were in the way of God and bring them back in Jerusalem and to basically put them in jail, persecute them. And as he journeyed on the road to Damascus, the Bible says a brilliant light, Living Bible, which was Jesus, manifested to him, and he fell under the power of God on the ground. And he said, this is what he said when he's on the ground. He was trembling under the anointing. I've seen people tremble under the anointing. He said, who art thou, Lord? He answered his own question. Who art thou, Lord? Now notice what came out of his mouth right after he had an encounter with Jesus. What would you have me to do? Sounds like somebody saying, I'm surrendering. This is real stuff here. I just got branded like a cow at a gate. Now, a man who was once causing trouble, a little indestructible, ornery Jew henchman, has an encounter with Jesus, and instantly he begins to shift his will out of his assignment for the devil, and now says, what is your will? What would you have me to do? The encounters with God will change you to do the will of God. In the day of thy power, thy people shall be willing. In the beauty of holiness. Everybody say holiness. John G. Lake said, a holy God needs holy vessels to flow through. After all, he is the Holy Spirit. Wigglesworth used it at the turn of the century. He said, no man or woman makes any progress with God who does not hate sin. He went on to say, worldliness is that which dulls my affections towards God. We are in the world, but not of the world. Are you listening to me? Matthew 5 and verse 8, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You don't hear people preaching about holiness much anymore. Your pastor does, I'm sure of it. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The New English Bible says, blessed are the clean in heart, for they shall see God. Follow after holiness and purity, of which no man shall see the Lord. You gotta live clean. You gotta live pure. And really, when you're born again, you are holy because the Holy Spirit lives in you. You just can't let your flesh dominate you. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:28, he said, I buffet my body. He didn't say I buffet it. He said, I buffet it. Buffet means strike blows. My body. Because you're spirit, soul, and body, right? Because Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless to the coming of the Lord. So you're a spirit being that lives in a body that has a soul, which is your mind, your will, and intellect. So when Paul says, I buffet my body, means my spirit, man, tells my body what it's going to do. I know you're taught well around here. Are you listening tonight? He said, I buffet my body, lest by any other means when I preach to others, I should be a castaway. You have to control your flesh. The three things you got to watch out, the three G's, the girls, the gold, and the glory. Or PMS, power, money, and sex. Power, listen, strength is for service, not for ego. We keep a humble heart and we serve and give Jesus all the glory. You watch out. You be careful about the opposite sex. Hello? And the glory goes to him for everything. For everything. They used to introduce Brother Hagin, a great man of faith and power. He said, I serve a great God of faith and power. He was humble. I was around Brother Hagin. I was around Dr. Summerall. I was around Brother Hagin. Those were my spiritual fathers. You learn some things by watching. You have to be a good steward over your finances. Are you there? Judas took himself out with finances. There's a lot. We could teach on all these subjects right now. I could just teach, take them all and tear them apart, but we ain't got time. I just have to touch on it. And you're taught well here, so your pastor's probably already taught on stewardship and all these good things. He's a seasoned man. Everybody say holiness. Romans 1:4 said, Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the beauty of holiness. Hello? 1 Timothy 5 in verse 22 says, keep yourself pure. Hello? That's why I started earlier. I said there's mercy, so if you miss the mark, you can get it right. There's no condemnation. Are you listening tonight? They said the secret of Wigglesworth's power, they said he raised 21 people from the dead, is he walked in unbroken fellowship with God. How about that? The Bible says to not grieve the Holy Spirit. Are you listening to me? I remember when I was like 16 or 17 when I got born again, I was in a service, Brother Eric, and the pastor was up, this minister was actually up speaking, and he began to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. He began to say that there's someone here, you need to get set free from tobacco. Well, I was chewing tobacco. I was just a young kid. I got saved when I was 17. Jesus appeared to me when I was 17. I didn't know anything. I was goofier than a $3 bill. But I remember he called out by the Spirit about change in my life. You know, like I had a can of Skoal in my pocket. I didn't know any better. You know, like I was hiding. It looked like a hockey puck in my back of my pocket. And I remember the Spirit of God convicting me. He was dealing with me about change and purity. So I walked down the altar and I went down there. I got hands laid on me. I went into the power of God as a young boy. I didn't know what this was all about. And I ain't touched tobacco since. Are you listening to me? See, there's a purification. And we've all missed it. I've missed it. Who is it? Brother Eric, have you ever missed it? We've all missed it. We've all missed the mark. Pastor, we've all missed the mark. In small ways, you know? But the mercy of God is so rich. He loves you so much. Listen to me. He loves you so much. You know, Paul said, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" God forbid. You say, well, you know, grace, God's a forgiver. Yeah, grace, grace. But some people they frustrate the grace of God. They take advantage of it because they just live anyway. Greasy grace. Are you listening to me? Yeah. 2 Peter 2 and verse 9 says this: "You are a holy generation. You are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood, a holy nation." Think about that. A whole nation, he says, it's talking about Israel and America now. "A peculiar people." I'd say I'm peculiar. You are too. "Who's called you out of darkness?" Out of darkness. Out of darkness. And into his marvelous light. The entrance of his word gives light. To show forth the praises of his name. He's called you out of darkness. Colossians 1:13 says, "And you hath he delivered out of the dominion of darkness and transferred you into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom you have redemption and the forgiveness of sins." Holy God needs holy vessels to flow through. And Wigglesworth said, "No man or woman makes any progress with God who does not hate sin." Is this helping you? I'm going to close with this last story, okay? In 1961, July 25th, there's a man who God really used to shake the nation of Argentina. Tommy Hicks. You ever heard of him? This is the generation of people that ran before us, like Dr. Summerall and Brother Hagin and Oral Roberts and other men that God used, so many wonderful men that God used to shake the nations. Tommy Hicks was in Winnipeg, Canada, and God had used him to really literally shake the entire nation, like how Pastor likes to go after. I was in India. We were after nations. The Lord told me, he said, "You'll go to the nations and prophesy over nations." And we're doing that. We're doing that by way of Zoom, and we're doing it by other means. I've been overseas, and we'll continue, just like Pastor does. So Tommy Hicks was laying in bed July 25th, 1961. 2:30 in the morning, I read it. I studied it. He said, and he had a vision from God. And he said, in the vision, he saw himself come out of his body or over the earth. He saw the globe, the entire planet. And he saw from the North Pole, South Pole, East and West, he saw a giant that was stretched across the globe. And that giant in the vision was the body of Christ. He had the visitation three times, the same thing he saw. He said, when he looked down at the giant from the north, south, east, and west around the earth, He said it was the body of Christ. There is not one continent, one nation that you can't go to, that there are not believers that are on the globe, that are on the planet. And we are the body of Christ and individual members all over the globe. The body of Christ. But he said in the vision, he said, the giant was struggling for its life. He said, then he saw what appeared to be like a move of God, like a wave of power that would come across the earth. Like God said he would cover the earth as the waters covered the seas. And he saw, Brother Eric, this wave of God's power come down across the earth. As surely as we live, the whole earth shall be filled with the glory and the presence of God and the power of God. And when it hit the giant began to move. The giant began to stand to its feet. And he said in the vision, when the giant began to move, he said, little hideous creatures of darkness, demon spirits, ran off it. Very prolific, isn't it? He's called you out of darkness. You are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A peculiar people. Who's called you out, holiness, out of darkness. And into his marvelous light. That's the glory of God. He said, but all these little creatures, after the move of God hit the planet, the giant got apathetic again and laid back down. And then he said in the vision, when the giant went back down, these little hideous creatures went back on top of it again. Very descriptive, isn't it? He said the second time he saw another move of God hit the giant. And when the power of God hit the giant across the globe, North Pole, South, East, West, the body of Christ, he said the giant began to move up again. And when he did, those little hideous creatures, Brother Philip, began to run off. Darkness. He said, but then again, apathy set in, lukewarm. Jesus said to the church of Revelations in 3, he said, I'd rather you be cold or hot because you're lukewarm. I'll spit you out of your mouth, my own mouth. Stay hot for God. Tonight, let's light a bonfire under your spiritual walk. I'm a spiritual arsonist. I come to light a fire under you, stir you up. Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift of God that's in thee through the laying on of hands. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. One translation says, fan a flame, the gift of God. Hallelujah. He said, then the giant got apathetic, laid back down. Little creatures began to go back over it again. He said, then the third time, the move of God came, and the giant began to stand to his feet, and all these little hideous creatures began to go off him, but this time it was different. He said, this time the giant stood to his feet and reached his hands into the heavenlies. Out of the earth's atmosphere, into the heavenly realm. And when he did, he said, the most pure silver, liquid light began to flow down into the giant, into the body. Like Brother Schombach. There's a miracle, miracles all the time. He's reaching into the realm of God to get that. He said the silver liquid light was the anointing. It was the power of God. He said it began to flow into the body of Christ. It was a description of the end time move of God. He said, then the giant with the anointing upon it, that liquid light, which was the anointing, it's like liquid, it flows out. The Bible says in Luke 6:19, the whole multitude sought to touch him, for virtue went out of him. Liquid light, in this case, in context. He said in the body of Christ would pray quick prayers. People would get set free from demon powers. Miracles, signs, and wonders would take place. Deaf ears would open. Eyes that were blind would see. Tumors would dissolve. Backs would be healed. Whatever it is. He said this was the depiction of the end time church. Hebrews 12, and I'll close with this. Is this helping you tonight? Yeah. Seeing then we have such great a cloud of witnesses. The Living Bible says Old Testament saints that ran their race in the grandstands watching you run your race. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, trip us up. Looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Who for joy set before us. He counted it all joy, I'll guarantee it. Endured the cross. Despised the shame. And sat down at the right hand of the Father. And let me tell you something tonight. You're in Christ. And you and I are seated at the right hand of the Father in Christ. But God said it in a great house in James, there's vessels of honor and those that are dishonor, some of gold, some of wood. But if a man purge himself of these things, he will be a vessel set apart for the master's use. Are you listening to me? Come ye out of the world and touch not the unclean thing, and I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you. And 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14 says, if my people called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted. Listen to this. The times of refreshment will come from the presence of God. Let's lift our hands to heaven. The Spirit of God's dropping all over the building. Has this helped you tonight? Thank you for listening so graciously. I'm so humbled that you would come tonight and be a part of this service. The Spirit of the Lord's moving in the building. So we'll lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Looking unto Jesus. Thank you, sir. Now, right now, just lift your hands to heaven. There's a beautiful anointing in here. It's Jesus. The day of his power. Thy people shall be willing in the beauty of holiness. I'm going to wait now because the anointing is starting to drop quickly. Many times there's heart surgery, the things that God's dealing with people. But I cannot emphasize to you tonight enough how much he loves you. He loves you so much. You have no idea how much he loves you. And he's not mad at you. He forgives you. He wants to make you whole. Here it comes. Here comes the glory. Come on, just draw a little invisible circle around you and just get lost. Open your heart. Make your heart willing tonight. Say, Lord, anything you want, I'll do it. Anything. I'm yours. Just give your heart away completely. Don't hold back. here it comes. I'm telling you, the anointing is going to come in here so strong tonight. This is a visitation of the other realm.
He loves you so. Greater is He in me. Greater is He in you. I declare you're free in Him. You're free. To give Him all your heart and be free, 'cause greater is He in me. There are times of refreshing, there are times to see the glory of God is here tonight. Be free. Será, no, no, no. Serano nombros, sidra bandondos, sera mandada maso, sera mandis, casting all your care on Him, 'cause He cares for me, casting all your care. Be free. Set on Bondura Lord. Put your eyes on Him. He's pouring out His glory. He's pouring out His glory on you and on me. Sidra mandom brondom darom dodo. Sara mondodo. Sidra bondo. Sera mondo. Sera mondo. Sidra Bondo, see the glory. Sodomates, Lord, I'm so amazed at you. You hold the world. You can have my heart, 'cause we worship you, Jesus. 'Cause we worship you, Jesus. Sarambros, Sarambros, close, come in close. Won't you come close? Won't you draw near? Won't you draw near? See that mano, please. Come into glory. Lift your hands and worship Him. No more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety. In His presence there's fullness of joy. You're free. 'Cause where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Be free to worship your God. Oh, the glory of God is here. Oh, the glory of God is here. Our Master, our Maker, your best friend. He is here tonight to set the captives free. Sorambano to Brandano Brandandas. Oh, let go of all your issues. Give your heart away tonight. Sorambanderero bon. Si drabando. See the glory.
Go ahead, play. Play on that violin. Go ahead, follow the Holy Ghost. Go ahead, play. Be free and play. Play, go ahead. Be free and play, go. Guitar player, play. Play. Go ahead, play. Be free. Go ahead. Sulla basso do prosti. He is here. Sorry, and play. Just be free. Play. Play. Light that song up and play, will you? Play. The whole band, go ahead, play. Play. Just take us to another place. Come on, play. Keep going now, play. Play like you're open and play. We will glow. Come on, lift your hands all over the building. If you want to stand, you can. We will worship you, Lord. We worship you. Come on, worship him. Hey, the man, lift your hands and worship. Don't clap. Worship. Come on, worship him all over the building. Cry out to him. Cry out to him. Cry out to him. Open your heart to him. Lord, we worship you. Pray in the Spirit. Use your prayer language and just pray in tongues and worship him. Come on, God's got things to do tonight. Let's just worship him for a minute. The glory of God. Rama mama nana mondoni mini manana manana nana 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 mondi brandana manana mama. See the abandono. See the abandono. See the manaro 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 manaro. Let's lift our hands and worship Him. Come on. The glory of God's here. The power of God's here is so strong. Anything's possible in this mirror. I just want to follow the Holy Ghost. Lift your hands and worship Him. We just get lost in His presence. That's what we're supposed to do. Around the throne, they say, glory, glory, the Lord God Almighty, which one who is and is to come. We just worship Him. Right now, I just want to say this to you. If you're here tonight and you say, Brother Chris, I'm dealing with depression, like a sadness over you, you're not sleeping at night, battling with any kind of stronghold or anything that's tried to control you. You say, Brother Chris, I've tried so hard, but I want to be free. If that's you tonight, I want you just to walk down here and meet me right now. Just come obey God. Come on, obey God. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. I'm so proud of you. Quickly. So proud of you. Quickly. Come, 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 come. Obey God. Not sleeping at night. Depression. Quickly. Just obey God. Mental anguish. You're in the biggest battle of your life right now. It's time to get set free. Quickly come. Come on home tonight. If you're away from God, you say, this is my night to get things right between me and my God. Quickly come. Come on, obey God. We're proud of you, honey. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you, ma'am. Quickly. You're coming home tonight. Back to Him. Come on, quickly. You want to get things right between you and Jesus. You've been trying so hard, honey. God, He loves you so much, honey. He loves you so much. Quickly come. We're so proud of those that are coming. Quickly, come to the altar. Say, Brother Chris, I want to make things right between me and my God. Quickly. Quickly come. Quickly. Maybe you're here having suicidal thoughts, like you have hope deferred has made your heart sick, like you want to give up. Quickly. It's okay. We're with family. Quickly come. Obey God. While the anointing's here, right now, come. Quickly. You want to get your life right with God. You want to come back to God. We talked about the mercy of God. It's rich. Quickly, come to the altar. Come. Thank you, ma'am. We're proud of you. Proud of both of you. He loves you tonight. He's not done with you. You're just getting started. Come to Jesus. Come. Quickly, come to the altar. See, I want to, young people, you're away from God. Quickly, maybe you're like me, chewing tobacco. I need to get rid of stuff. Quickly, come. In the day of thy power, thy people shall be willing in the beauty of holiness. Quickly, come. Come on, this is a night to change. You will be absolutely changed. There's other things God wants to do. But the first wave of the Spirit, if you need to make things right with you and God, just come. Come on, don't be one that says, I'm not willing. You sit there and fight between your heart and your head. Come and obey God. Come back to Jesus tonight. This is a Jesus moment. Intersection. Young people, come. Thank you, come. Lift your hands. Don't stare at me. Worship the Lord. Quickly, lift your hands up. I see somebody in a relationship, and you're in a wrong relationship with an opposite sex, and you know you need to break that relationship off. It's time for you to get out of that relationship. Come to the altar right now and break it and obey God. It's time for you to obey God. If you're in a wrong relationship, quickly come. Smoking cigarettes, drinking alcohol, quickly come. Holiness and purity. The Lord loves you so much. There's no condemnation here. This is an altar of love and forgiveness and mercy. Quickly come. Like the scripture talks about people that are backslidden, like Israel. They slid back away from God. Come back to Him right now, quickly. There's other things we have to do tonight. Obey God quickly. There's more. There's more of you. Quickly come. Quickly come. We're proud of you. Quickly come. There's more. Obey God. Quickly come. See, that's me, Brother Chris. I have to make things right between me and my God. Let's lift our hands all over the building and worship Him. Quickly. Ushers, if they are, you'll have to follow me, okay? All right. Let's lift our hands and thank God all over the building. There's other things, there's healings and miracles that God wants to do yet, but this is the first thing we need to do. You have to come back to Him. Have to come back to Him. You have to come back to Him. Right now, if that's you, still, the altar's full, quickly in the back. You know you need to make things right between you and God. Just come. Come, young people, come. Obey God. Thank you, honey. I'm proud of you. Quickly, there's more. We're proud of them, Brother Eric. We're proud of them. Everyone that's coming, we're proud of these girls. Quickly, come. Very proud of you, honey. God loves you so much. Come on over here. Come back to him quickly. There's more. There's four more of you. Quickly. I heard four. Quickly. Come back to him. Obey God. Be willing and obedient. Come to the altar. Don't worry about what people think. Quickly come. Quickly come. Quickly. This is your night. Maybe you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. You've been to church, but you never asked him to come in. Come to the altar right now if you would. Quickly come. Lift your hands all over and worship him. Those that are up front, say this with me. Lord Jesus, I love you with all my heart. I thank you for your precious blood that covers me from all unrighteousness. I thank you right now. You said in your word, if I would confess my sins, you would be faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Tonight I say, Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. I'll serve you all the days of my life. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on sin. I turn my back on the devil. I turn my back on the flesh. And I make Jesus the Lord again, center of my heart, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, right now for setting me free. I declare Jesus Christ came in the flesh. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. I will serve him all the days of my life in the name of Jesus. Now lift your hands all over the building and join with us as we pray for those that are here. Ushers, you need to follow me, okay? I know there's other things, reasons people came up here, but we're going to pray for them. So ushers, come please. In the name of Jesus. Be free. Be free. Good to see you. You're amazing, you. Fire! Be free. Take the anointing right there. Take it. No fear. There it is. Fire! Bring her back. Come here, honey. Don't leave yet. It's okay. It's the anointing. There it is, right there. Just take the anointing. They're with you. Just take it, honey. Bring her up here. Step forward. The finances will come, and the Lord shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. David said, I've been young and I've old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. Increase comes to you. The last time you felt this anointing has been a while, you said. But here it is. Fire! Come here, honey. Do not rush anybody up. Come here, honey. Just come forward. It's good to see you again. Yeah, your life is his, right? Take the anointing. Sleep in Jesus' name. Don't worry about things. Let all that stuff go now, in Jesus' name. There it is, right there. Take the anointing. Take it. It's okay. Lift your hands up, sir. Get behind him, okay? Now I break depression off of you now in Jesus' name. Loose him! Come here, brother. Step forward, sir. Now I break all depression in Jesus' name. Be free! Let's lift our hands. We need to bring it down a little bit, okay? Bring it down a little bit, okay? There's a shift, so just, you have to be sensitive, okay? All right, just play the piano, that's all. We're doing good. Now, you want wisdom and direction from God, but the Lord said, I will give you that instruction on the inside of you. I'll teach you. I'll show you what you should do. So inquire of me, and I'll call unto me, and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not of. I'll show you the things you want to know on the inside and through my word. You don't need a word. You have the word. So take the anointing. There it is. Just take the anointing. There it is right there. Take it. Fire. In the name of Jesus. How are we doing here? Okay. Can you receive with them here? You can? Okay. All right. Now the finances will come. The Lord shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ. As David said, I've been young and I've been old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. Increase comes to you and the Lord shall increase you more. Go down there with mom. Go on. You go down with her. You go down. You can go lay next to her. Sometimes you'd say, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do for the Lord. But God says, you just be yourself and keep serving and loving people and encouraging people. So many things you'd like to do for the Lord, but the Lord will instruct you and show you, honey. You have a good heart. You needed to be here tonight, you said in your heart, right? Now take the anointing. Fire in Jesus' name. Break all depression off of her now in Jesus' name. Every tormenting voice and tormenting assault from hell. Lose her! Jesus' name. You love the presence of God. Now take the anointing, honey. Right there. There it is, right there. She receives. Now you've been battling with a lot of things in your world. God sees your heart. You have a really good heart, my friend. You want to know what you're supposed to do? Let me know, Lord. That's what you're saying. But the Lord's going to tell you what to do. It doesn't matter what you did so many wrong things in times past. You're forgiven this night. He said, I am he who blots out thy sins and iniquities. I'll remember no more. You're forgiven, brother. There it is, right there. Take the anointing. Take the anointing. Lift your hands up, honey. Don't touch anybody under the anointing, please. Be real careful. Just let them stay there. I've already told you what to do on the inside. There's things on the inside, you know. There's the anointing. There it is, right there. Take it. Take the anointing. Be free. No. God said, I know the plans I have for your life, saith the Lord of hosts, not plans for calamity or for evil, but for a future and a hope. Future and hope and an expected end. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, and the devil's a liar, so we break every assignment against your thought life, and we break it now. Be free! In Jesus' name. Fire! Yeah, your heart's with him tonight. You love the Lord with all your heart, don't you? All your heart, all your soul, and all your might. That's what I hear. I love the Lord. I want to come back with him and be close to him. That's what I hear. Nice. There it is, right there. Take the anointing. Good to see you. What's your name?
Courtney,
lift your hands up, Courtney. I like your sneaks, shoes.
Thank you.
Now, Father, right now, we just thank you for Courtney. Fire into her in Jesus' name. You got to spread out, guys. I don't want anybody to, yeah, they're good. Okay, come over here, honey. You love the Lord, don't you? Yeah? Come on, you're here. You're important, too. Stay right there. Honey, God wants all your heart. He wants you completely. He loves you. He's got big plans for you. But you have to serve him solely, singly. Have your eyes on him and no one else. Take the anointing. Right there, take that. Take it, take it. It's flowing into you. Take it. Lift your hands up. Come on over here so you don't fall. Lift your hands up now. Close your eyes. Say, Jesus, I love you. Here it is, right there. Take the anointing. Now that depression and that oppression that has come against your soul and against you, that brokenness and the pain and the hurts of the past,
Yeah, you told the Lord, I don't even understand life anymore. Why would I even live? But you will.
Be free!
You're free, honey, tonight. You're free tonight. Do you hear me? You're free from that oppression. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Anxious means careful, full of care about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the God of peace shall guard your heart and mind by Christ Jesus. Finally, it says, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, of a good report, if there be any virtue and there be any praise, think on those things. And I will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me because you trust me. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. So many times your mind, you try to figure everything out analytically, like we all could. But God says, cast your care on me and trust me. I've got your best interests at heart. It'll be okay. But Father, bless her. Pray your spirit. Now I break every oppression that would come against her soul and her mind. There it is right there. Fire! Come here, brother. It's good to see you, man. Yeah. What's your name?
Josh.
Josh. You're a good man, brother. Don't rush anybody up, please. You're laying it all down, right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Tonight's a night of repentance, right? You're laying it all down, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, be free. Be free! In Jesus' name. You're a good man, brother. This is a good night for you. You hear me? God sees your heart. You're a good man. Now you're free from it, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you, now you're going to go a different direction, right?
Yes.
All right. Tonight's your night. Do you speak in other tongues? Go ahead. Rabasonda bravonda brabonda kumbra dabras. Go ahead. Rabasonda karadamunda brabanda. Karabonja kiribanda brabonda brabesta brabanda brabanda. Go ahead. Sangurabanda korabonda. Receive you the Holy Ghost. Brother Philip, come here. Come on, quick, Pastor. Put your hands on him. Get him filled. He's already speaking in tongues. You know what? I see you again. It's good to see you. Yeah. Down on his belly, Philip. Out of your belly. Now be free, honey. Right there. Fire. It's good to see you. I'm really proud of you that you would walk all the way down here. Take the anointing. There it is. Right there. Fire. Did you come, sir? It's good to see you, sir. What is your name?
Herb.
You're back, right, tonight?
Yes, sir.
Nice, okay. Father, bless him in Jesus' name. I break any depression off of him in Jesus' name. There it is, right there. Fire! See the anointings on her? Put your hands on her and get her filled with the Holy Spirit. Honey, speak in other tongues. Go ahead. Go ahead. On her stomach. Go ahead, baby. Speak out. Speak out. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Go ahead. Rabasonda brabonda. Go ahead. Go ahead. There you go. Rabasonda. She's got it. Go ahead, honey. Rabasonda brabonda brabonda. Go ahead. Just speak. Do you speak in tongues?
Yes.
You do. Okay. Go ahead and speak. Okay. Honey, come back up here. God's not done with you, you know. Sir, lift your hands up again. Lift your hands up again. It's okay. Lift your hands up. Come closer. The Father, in the name of Jesus, fill her with the Spirit.
Fire!
Go ahead and speak in tongues. Brabanda, 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 good. Rabasanda, brakud. Shanda, brafanda, 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 kum, brafanda, brafanda. Keep going. Shanda, brabanda, brabanda, brabanda. You speak in tongues? You do? Good. Let's lift our hands and worship God all over the building. Respiratory problems, having a hard time breathing, quickly come to the altar. Ringing in the ears, lower back pain, sinus problems. Quickly, come. You don't have to get up, ma'am. Ma'am, you're okay in the brown pants. You're okay. Just stay there under the anointing. Enjoy God. You don't have to race up because you hear people coming. There's a lot of room. Come here, sir. Now, Father, I thank you for this gentleman. You guys behind him? Fire into him in Jesus' name. There it is. There's the anointing. Just take it. Gentle giant.
He's a gentle giant. He has a good heart. Let's lift our hands. Somebody's right shoulder is stuck. Lower back pain. Female problems in the ovaries. I don't know who that is. Ovary problems. Ladies, female problems, quickly. Just come down. Is that you, ma'am? Ovaries? Okay. Come on over here. Lift your hands up. You're going to start feeling burning right in there right now. Watch. Watch how fast. Told you. Watch. Now I command those ovaries to be made whole and function properly. In Jesus' name, be free. What do you need, honey? Okay, all right. Sit down there. Let's lift our hands and thank God. God's doing a powerful work tonight. All right, let's put your legs out, okay? You have back problems, right? Okay, relax. This leg is up higher. See it? Okay, watch. Now it's longer. Okay, where was your pain? Right now? It's gone. Get out of here, will you? You're healed. What do you need, honey? Lower back? Okay, you have different shoes on. That's not going to help me, but just come here. Okay, lift your hands up. Now, Father, heal her. You're going to feel heat flow right into your spine. Watch. Told you. Like fire, it's going to flow. And you're going to lay under the on the floor, and while you're down there, your body's going to shift. Your spine is going to shift all over the place. Watch. From the top of your head, watch, all the way down, you'll start feeling heat shoot through you. Told you. Can you feel that warmth? You ever felt that before? You never have you? Your whole body, your whole spine is shifting right now. Your lower back and your hips are off. It's being healed right now. What do you need, honey? Ringing in the ears. Okay, telephone stuff. Ringing. It's a joke. Come here. It'll go out. Watch, it'll go out quick. Ringing in there. Watch how fast. Sorry. Ephatha. Be opened. Command the ringing to come out now. Told you. Where's the ringing? Which one? Okay, come here. Jesus, remember he laid hands and put more mud on, you know? Okay, we can do that, okay. Now, Father, I command this to come out now in Jesus' name. All the ringing. Come out now. There's the anointing. Take the anointing. In the name of Jesus. Okay. That's done, right? Okay. Yeah. Amen. What do you need, ma'am? Come. Ringing in the ears? Okay. All right. How long?
A couple years now.
Do not get up. You're on the operating table, okay? He's doing a work, so just stay there, okay? I'm just giving you a little instruction. Okay, how long?
A couple years
of ringing in the ears. Okay, we command that to come out now. In the name of Jesus. You believe, right? Okay. Come out now. In Jesus' name. How you doing? Good, right? No more ringing?
I can't hear it. When there's other noise, I can't hear it.
Okay, all right. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, touch her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Now, just take the anointing. Take the anointing. Just lay under the anointing. What do you need, honey?
Dehydration.
Drink water.
Yes.
Okay. And what else?
Sinus issues.
Sinuses. Come here. Drink lots of water if you're dehydrated. Okay. Now, Father, heal her of sinus. Like we called out sinuses. What do you need, ma'am?
Having a breathing problem.
Respiratory problems?
It's from I cracked ribs.
Cracked ribs, okay. Yeah, but your ribs are not cracked anymore. Put your hand on her chest because I don't want to do that. Okay. Now, in the name of Jesus, I command her lungs to be loosed and open. Now, receive the anointing. Let it flow into you. See it like flow into you. The woman with the issue of blood was conscious of an inflow. Jesus was conscious of an outflow, so see it go into you. Now be free. There it is. Take the anointing. You feel the heat on your head? That's warmth. That's the anointing going into you. You're free. Your lungs are free. In Jesus' name, be free. What do you need, sir?
I got ringing in the ears, sinuses, okay. And dry eyes, and cataracts.
Okay. Well, let's just pray. God, just touch you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for touching him like you healed his back last night. Now heal him now in every way. Command the ears to be free. There, now take the anointing right there. Take it. Take it right there. What do you need, sir?
Nasal passages.
Your what?
Nasal passages.
Nasal stuff. Okay, sinuses. Come closer. Okay, thank you, sir. Father, thank you for this wonderful gentleman. He has faith in his heart. Be healed. Be it done unto you according to your faith. What do you need, sir? Okay, sit in that. Sit right over there in that pew right there. What's wrong, sis?
Sinuses, respiratory, and back.
Okay.
And I'm pregnant. It's making it worse.
You're pregnant, too, on top of it? Okay. Great. Wonderful. Congratulations. Yeah. Now, Father, we thank you for healing her back. Thank you for that beautiful baby that's on the inside of her that will go. We'll have no complications whatsoever. She'll bring a new life into the world, and I command her to be healed from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. What do you need, honey?
Bring it in the air, low back.
Lower back.
Four screws in my neck.
Okay. Four more screws. Okay, come on, sit back. Sit over there, and we're going to check your back. Let's lift our hands and thank God. What happened to you? You were in a car wreck or something? What happened? A forklift? You were hit. Oh. How long?
It's been about 17 years.
17 years. Okay. God's going to heal you completely tonight. Okay. This leg is short. Your hip's up higher. Okay. Yeah. So now watch what happens. Now you're going to start feeling heat in your neck, honey. Close your eyes right now. Watch. See? Like warmth in your neck. Watch, you're going to heal from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. We thank you, Lord, for healing her. Got hit with a forklift. Father, heal her of this tonight, miraculously. Give her new vertebrae. Heal her neck. All her spine. You'll feel warmth, honey, right now. Watch. The Bible says when the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, we were like those that dream, that our heart was filled with joy and our mouth with laughter. He turns your tears into joy. He's touching you now, honey. You can tell, can't you? Like fire, like warmth, right? Thank you, Lord. Now you just stay here, okay? Jesus is a miracle worker. Father, touch her body from the top of her head. Fix her spine. No more surgeries. Let her be healed now in Jesus' name. Wow. The anointing is on you very strong, honey. You stay right there, okay? Stay right there. He's doing a work in you. Put your legs out. Okay. Okay, relax. I don't want to know the name of it. I already know it's the devil. All we need is the answer, right? Okay, your leg just grew out. This leg grew out about an inch. It was shorter. Okay, don't ever again say, I got osteoporosis, this, that. Don't ever say that. Say, I'm the healed of the Lord, okay? There's a difference. Yeah, exactly, good. All right, I'm just coaching you a little bit. Yeah, good. I'm proud of you. Okay, Father, now touch him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. We thank you right now for healing him. And God's going to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Finances are on the way. Psalms 115, verse 14, and the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your family. You feel that warmth? It's nice, right? That's the anointing. It's flowing into your spine. I command that to come out of his body now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Honey, he's healing you right now. You feel that warmth going through your whole body, right? Through your whole body, right? Yeah.
What do you need, sir?
Lower back.
Lower back? Okay, sit down. Let's lift our hands in the congregation and worship the Lord. He's doing wonderful things up here. Can you go up one more? Do you mind? Yeah, that helps me. All right. Thanks. Just a little off, huh? Not anymore. This leg was up high. You see it, right? Now it's even, right? Okay, where was your pain? Is it there now? It's not there. Yeah, because you're being healed. Stand up, bro. Okay, just bend over. Better, right? Yeah, it feels good. All right. Good to see you, man.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Just thank him for it. What do you need, ma'am? A what? Okay. Okay, all you need is the life of God. Jesus, God breathed into Adam the life of God. Okay. All right, sit down. Let's check. Come on, let's lift our hands and thank him. How many of you know God's doing work in people's bodies, in their hearts, in their soul? Okay, relax. Relax. See how that's up, bro? That one's up. Watch. Okay, let's get the other one out now. That one kicked out. Okay, you're done. Did you feel that?
I see it.
Yeah, you saw it.
Amen.
You felt it too, right?
I felt it.
That was nice, right? Okay, you're done. Now stand up. You don't need no inhaler anymore.
Amen.
Come on over here, honey. Let's lift our hands. Just lift your hands. Worship them. Worship them. Lift your hands. Fire. What do you need, sir? Okay. All right, Father, heal him. Thank you for touching his body now in Jesus' name. Fire. It flows into you. There it goes. See how it's going into you? Just yield to it. They're behind you. Just lay on the floor and enjoy it. You're back.
I am back.
Okay.
I have ringing in my ears.
Okay.
24/7.
Okay.
It's a spiritual attack. I get it.
Command the ringing to come out now in Jesus' name. Fire. What do you need, honey?
Female issues.
Female problems. Okay. All right. Stay right there. Is there a helper, a female that's... And help me. Who can I use, Pastor? Can you help me? You're a pastor's wife, right? Okay. Good, that a girl. Put your hands on her like jumper cables. It's your girl, right? Okay. Okay, now we command those female parts to be made whole. And there it goes. See, it's going into you right now. You're going to feel warmth in there, right? See? Now, be healed in Jesus' name. Thank you for your help. Thank you so much. What do you need, sir?
Tonight,
you're back.
Tinnitus.
Okay. All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, I command healing to his body now. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it. Be free! In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. What do you need, honey? What's wrong?
I have arthritis in my shoulder and a nerve or something in my face.
Okay.
I have numbness.
No feeling? Watch how fast. Feeling come back now. As soon as I take my hand off, you don't have to pray in tongues. Just receive. Now watch. As soon as I take my hand off, you'll get your feeling back. As soon as my hand removed from your face, you will have healing back. Watch. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Bam.
Thank you, Jesus.
Told you. Your shoulder's being healed right now in Jesus' name. I told you he would heal you. You fully believe, right? That's what I heard you say. Now take the anointing. No, nothing to be afraid of. You're going to live out your days. There's nothing wrong. You're okay. The days of your life are 70, 10 if by reason of use. You could ask for more. 70. 10 is 80. If by reason of use you could ask for more. And in Genesis 3, some people say God said we could live to 120. You're not going anywhere. Fire, a lying devil. Devil lies to people. Let's thank the Lord. God's doing a work. What do you need, honey? How are you?
I broke my hip.
You did? Aww.
And I have
trouble breathing.
You have troubles breathing? Okay. What's your name?
Dottie.
Dottie?
Dorothy.
Oh, Dorothy. There's no place like home. Right, Dorothy?
Right.
Yeah, you're in the... Go sit down. Move her over there. Just let her sit on the...
Okay.
Just sit down in there so you're comfortable, okay? And I'll come right back to you, okay? What's wrong, champ?
Ringing in my ears.
Yeah, how long?
About 2 or 3 years.
You're done. Come out!
Wow.
Gone, right? Get out of here. I like your hairdo, by the way. Looking pretty sharp there, buddy. No more ringing, right? All right, good. What do you need, honey?
Ringing in my ears.
Ringing, okay. That'd be easy, just like him. Ready? There it is. Come out! Take the power of God. Just take it. Take the anointing. I'm going to come back. What do you need, honey? I'm going to come back to you. So just enjoy the presence. I'll come back and check on you. What?
You prayed for me yesterday.
Okay.
For arthritis in the legs and the feet. But I have it in my lower back.
Okay.
It's like in, I hate to speak it, it's increased.
Okay, that's...
So...
You know, F.F. Bosworth wrote the book Christ the Healer. He said, more people lose their healing by a counterattack of the devil than another thing. You know, and back in the... My microphone's a little hot. Can you take it down just a little bit? In 1947 through 58, there was a healing. Take the anointing. Feel the anointing?
Yes.
Yeah, you did feel that, didn't you? Now, while you're down there, he's going to heal you. 1947 through 58, there was a healing revival that hit America. And there were mass healings all over the place. Tent revivals, you know, and people were getting healed. And... And then sometimes people would lose their healing and they say, I must not got a healed. But Brother Hagin used to teach on healing, how to keep your healing. Be healed in Jesus' name. You're healed.
Oh my God.
You feel that, Orn? That's anointing is nice, right? Be free. Jesus' mighty name. Okay. Okay. The Father, we thank you. What's your son's name?
Richard.
Now, Father, right now, we thank you for Richard that will be healed. We thank you, Acts 19:11, God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, that they were brought into him handkerchiefs and aprons when they laid them on other people. They were healed and delivered if there were demons there. So we command Richard to be healed. Now, take the anointing, honey, while you're here and get refreshed. Take it. There you go. Stay down. No, you didn't get up. You're on the operation table. Give her something for her head, because so she's... You have a little something you can put under her head, a towel or something? Okay, how many of you know God's doing miracles? Did you need something? What do you need, honey? Come. What's wrong? Respiratory? Heart? Okay.
Ear ringing.
Okay. Okay, let's just pray for you. Father, touch her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. We thank you that you sent your word and healed her. And delivered her from all destruction. Thank you, surely you bore our infirmities on the cross, that we're dead to sin and alive unto righteousness. With your stripes, you are the healed. There it is, right there. See, healing just went into her right now. I can tell when the anointing's released. What do you need, honey?
Well, I came for two things.
Okay.
I came for myself, but I also came for my mother. My mom has what they say, upper respiratory.
Okay, do you have a handkerchief or something? Here, see that over there by the little oil, anointed oil? Grab that little handkerchief, whatever that is. I don't need the oil, just a handkerchief. Thank you. Okay, bring this to your mom, okay? What's her name?
Judy.
Father, we thank you for Judy that's delivered from respiratory issues. We thank you. You wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, that they were brought unto him handkerchiefs and aprons. And when they laid their hands on him and put the aprons on him, they were set free. If there was any wicked spirits or any darkness working, they were delivered and set free. So we thank you. What's your mom's name?
Judy,
be free. Be set free according to Acts 19:11. Now go take that to her. And put it on her. And while you're here, get the anointing. There it is, right there. I was teaching on Acts 19:11 in Houston, Texas. And I grabbed a handkerchief and I was teaching how the anointing is stored in cloth like Jesus' garment. And I prayed on it and threw it on a pastor. I threw it to the pastor and I didn't know that he had had some kind of car wreck. He didn't even tell me about it. He said, when you threw the handkerchief, it hit me and my back was on fire and started to pop. So God's working through clothing, material. Yeah. You know, and again, 1947 through 58, there was a healing revival in America. And Oral Roberts and all these great men of God that were holding tents, tent meetings. I'm sure Brother Schambach was a part of that. You could tell me stories there. Take the anointing. There it is. Take the anointing. Just take it. Take it. Be healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. Heal his body in Jesus' name. Fire into him. Be healed in Jesus' name. Where is your pain? Is it there now? It's not there, of course. It's stiff because of muscle cramps, but you just got healed. Sinuses, okay. Okay, sit down. Sit down. Let's thank God, okay? Okay, put your legs out. Okay. You wore different shoes tonight. Your legs are fine. Yeah, so just stand up, honey. Stand up for a minute. Lift your hands up right now. Where's your pain? Okay, around the right waistline. Father, thank you for healing her right now. There it is. In Jesus' name. Let it flow into you. There it goes. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Fire. So in 1947 through 58, there was a healing revival that hit the nation. A.A. Allen, who was the prophet? Do you remember the prophet, major prophet? Branham, William Branham. They all held these amazing meetings and people were getting healed all over. And then some of them, they would go out 2 or 3 days later after they got their healing and the symptoms would come back. And I remember Dad Hagen saying, him and William Branham were in the same town, and there were some people that were going to Branham's meetings, and they came forward to William Branham and said, you know, I got a miracle for you, but the symptoms come back. He said, you need to be over there in Brother Hagen's meetings where he teach you how to keep it. Are you listening to me? What you obtain by faith, you maintain by faith. See, so you receive your healing, you keep it by faith. The symptoms try to come back. F.F. Bosworth said, more people lose their healing by a counterattack. So these symptoms come back. You say, well, I must not got healed. No, you got healed. The devil tried to put something back on you. You just stand and hold your ground and push them back. Amen. That's good teaching. That's important. That's vital information, isn't it? Amen. So immediately when hands are laid on you, believe you've received your healing, you take it and hold on to it. Amen. Let's lift our hands and thank God. Hallelujah. Let's have all the young people up quickly. Teenagers, young people, quickly come to the altar fast. Dr. Summerall said you need to lay hands on the children twice a month. They go into school settings with dark spirits and different things that go on. They battle all kinds of oppressions and battles. Quickly, get the kids up. Quickly. Come on, quickly. You come up here, get ready to receive. Lift your hands up. We have to mark the next generation with the power of God. Quickly. Lift your hands up. Your ears got popped open tonight. You're ready to receive. You're turned on, excited, right? Move over a little bit so you don't fall on Mr. Hangry. Come on, honey. Move over. Come over. Quickly. There's a lot of things we need to do. It takes time to get through services. You guys come back over. Or you two get back over here. Quick. Quick. Lift your hands up. Close your eyes. Lift your hands up and close your eyes and put them on Jesus. Like that. We're going to train the next generation in the power of God. Quickly, ushers. Fire! 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 Goliath is here. Fire! 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 Good to see you. Fire! Fire! Depression come off of her in Jesus' name.
You leave her alone in Jesus' name, lying devils. Leave her alone. Come here, in Jesus' name. Come here, honey. Fire! 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 Curly Q, fire! Fire! Depression, go! Mark him with the power of God. Fire! Do not rush anybody up. Bring her over here. Come here, honey. Come here, honey. Come here. Come here. Lift your hands up in the name of Jesus. Fire! Lift your hands up and worship God all over the building. Just lift your hands up and worship him. Let's thank God. These kids need to get blasted with the anointing. Amen. The things that they come up against and the things they fight in this generation, take it. Let's lift our hands and thank him. Just worship the Lord. Come on, get lost. Don't be a spectator. Just leave it alone. People are under the anointing, being touched, being healed. This young lady right here in the green. Father, we thank you for Dorothy. There's no place like home, Annie M., in church, in the anointing, in heaven. Thank you, Father. Heal her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. I thank you tonight she'll sleep through the whole night with no fear or anxiety. Thank you that you'll keep her here on this earth long, long, long time. We thank you for touching her now by the power of Almighty God. I thank you for healing in her legs, her hips, that she's healed and whole in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you for it now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Honey, you can feel that anointing, that warmth, right? Like warmth, right? Let's thank God. Let's thank God. Thank God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's worship him. Let's worship him. Let's worship him. Come on, lift your hands and thank him. Lift your hands and worship him. Honey, how's that neck doing? How you doing? Good, right? Have you felt that anointing like that before? You couldn't even turn, but now you can turn, right? Sit back down for a minute. I'm going to pray for you again. I'm drawn like a magnet to you. Now release more. No more surgeries. Father, take away all the metal in her neck and just fuse her spine with a perfect spine in Jesus' name. Let there be a great miracle, a great report of what you did. You're the great physician. I believe you with all my heart, Father, for touching her. All that stiffness, everything gone from her spine, I command her to come out of this body. Touch her now in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Let's lift our hands and thank God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's lift our hands and thank him. Just lift your hands and thank him. Brother Eric, can you come here for a minute? Okay. The service isn't over with, so just stay connected. There's people, young people being touched all over the place. Don't be afraid of what's going to happen. You trust God, okay? He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. You're not alone. The Lord's with you, okay? It's going to be okay, all right? There's nothing wrong with you. You're a good girl. There's not a thing wrong with you. You're an amazing young woman. In Jesus' name. Let's worship. Just go down there and hug her. That's all. Amen. Bro, go ahead.
All right, everybody, tonight, Chris is going to still minister here, but let's receive an offering for this man of God tonight, if you would. If you would, make your checks payable to Only Believe or OBM. You can give electronically as well. This man of God, you can see the presence of God. It's still here. I can feel it on this platform right now. I encourage you, let's sow into this anointing tonight. What you see happening tonight is happening literally all across America, around the world, in services just like this, in many cases by the hundreds of thousands. Let's sow in this man of God's ministry. We will reap a prophet's reward, as I said yesterday. I encourage you. I feel the Lord telling me there's some people here that need to give a significant gift. And I don't know what that means to you. That might be $100. That might be $10. That might be $1,000. I don't know what it is, but I feel the word significant in my spirit. That's for somebody here tonight, and it might be you online as well. Let's sow into this anointing right now, because God will bless you back. Bible says in Luke 6:38, right? When we give, it'll be given back to us. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. He'll give it back to us in abundance when we sow into things like this. So I encourage you right now, get your offering ready. You can make your checks once again out to Only Believe or OBM, and we'll make sure every penny that comes tonight goes to Chris D'Amico Ministries, so we can see other churches, other cities, other states, other countries be impacted by this man of God. Thank you so much tonight for coming tonight. Don't forget tomorrow night, turn to your neighbor and say, tomorrow night, Chris will be here tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Come expecting, bring somebody with you. We just had hundreds of miracles tonight, hundreds of miracles on Sunday morning, and I believe tomorrow night will be even our best yet for the third and final night of the service tonight with Chris D'Amico. So please come tomorrow night. We are done. We release you. We love you. Thank you for coming tonight. And we will see you tomorrow at 7 p.m. here in Bachman's, Ohio. God bless you.